Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
When you think about a critical spirit, you notice the judgment that it brings and the results of walking in a critical spirit. The first thing we notice is that it brings condemnation to you. You know, he says, therefore you are without excuse, every man of you who passes judgment, for in that you judge another. And here's the certainty, if you pass judgment and you walk in the critical spirit, then he says, in that you judge another, you condemn yourself.
Living on every word.
Living on every word. We're in the midst of a series this past month on facing common temptations. We have begun from the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, that speaks of all temptation being common to man, and that God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with every temptation will make a way of escape for you and me. That is the characteristic of every temptation. Every temptation comes with the power and the ability to overcome it and then a way to escape it. With that in mind, we come to the next temptation in our series. And that is the temptation to be critical of your neighbor. It is called the critical spirit or a judgmental spirit that we all have the propensity to walk in. I believe that if we would take stock over our lives over the past week or 2 weeks, that it would be very easy to find someone that we have been critical of, that we have walked in condemnation toward and judgment toward. When you look at this sin, it is a very serious sin. Matter of fact, the scripture says you are judged for this sin. You are judged when you find fault in other people. Turn to Jude chapter 1, if you would. Jude chapter 1. We'll look at verse 16. Actually, there's just one chapter in Jude. So just find verse 16 there. Now, notice what he says in verse 14. He says, about these are men who come into the church who are ungodly. He says, about these also Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of His holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Now watch, these are grumblers, fault finders, or those who find fault, those who follow after their lusts, who speak arrogantly, and they flatter people for the sake of gaining an advantage. You know, isn't it interesting that we can find a whole lot of people in this world, such as the homosexual, or the adulterer, or the fornicator, or some guy out there with a horrendous sin, and walk in judgment and condemnation of them, and then yet in our own backyard, in our own house, we can walk in a critical spirit and think that we are doing okay. Or we can grumble, find fault, or speak arrogantly when the scripture says that the judgment of God comes upon these ungodly sinners. When you find fault, when you walk in a critical spirit, the scripture calls you ungodly. It calls me ungodly. And folks, ungodly people fall under the judgment of God. When you look at this passage of scripture, you think of the circumstances we go through or the people that come into our lives that rub us the wrong way. First thing we'll do is we'll grumble against them. And then the second thing we'll do is we'll find the fault, as we see in the scripture. And the third thing is we'll follow after our own lusts, and we'll find ourselves, and we're going to see in just a moment, doing the same thing that we're critical of in another person's life. We will follow after our own lusts. And then we'll speak arrogantly, and then we'll flatter people for the sake of gaining an advantage. Folks, it's so easy. We all have this propensity to walk in a critical spirit of the sins and the darkness of others. When you look at Scripture, you see that Scripture often speaks to this as passing judgment, and there are consequences to walking in this critical spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 1, if you would. Romans chapter 1. And in verse 28, it says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do and to keep on doing the things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, they're slanderers, they hate God. They're insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, and they're disobedient to their parents. They're without understanding, they're untrustworthy, they're unloving, they're unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they give hearty approval to those who practice them. Notice the next verse. Therefore, you, Roman church, are without excuse, every man of you who passes judgment, for in that you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, you practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. And do you suppose this, O man, that when you pass judgment upon these who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you'll escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, and not knowing that the kindness of God leads to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good, they seek for glory, honor, and immortality, well, here's the reward, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, here is their reward, wrath and indignation, because there'll be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek, but of glory and honor and peace to every man who is doing good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. I want you to notice, when we think about a critical spirit, you notice in this passage of Scripture the judgment that it brings and the results of walking in a critical spirit. The first thing we notice in Romans chapter 1 is that it brings condemnation. It brings condemnation to you. You know, he says, therefore you are without excuse, every man of you who passes judgment, for in that you judge another. And here's the certainty. If you pass judgment and you walk in the critical spirit, then he says that in that you judge another, you condemn yourself. You condemn yourself. If you're thinking about a neighbor or a person and you're passing judgment upon them, you can be certain of one thing. It brings condemnation not on them, but it passes sentence, because that's what the word means, on you. It passes sentence on you. And then what it'll do is it'll expose your own sinfulness. It'll show you what's in your heart. You know, you may not have a dime to your name. And if you judge a rich man and you pass sentence on someone who has a lot of money and you say they're greedy, I want to tell you, you may not have a dime and you may never have a dime, but you pass judgment. And you know what you did? You condemned yourself and exposed your own greed in your life. You say, well, I don't have any money. I don't even know how to make money. It doesn't matter, folks. You can owe more than you have, which, by the way, some of us do. And yet still walk in condemnation of the greed in your own life. Listen, if you pass by a home or you pass by anything and you're critical of it, the first thing that you ought to think of is, uh-oh, I'm critical. It must be in my life. It must be in my life. I may not be practicing to the same degree of that person's sinfulness, but I guarantee you, folks, you've got the propensity for it. You had the propensity in your life. The third thing that we see is that it activates God's judgment. It brings the condemnation, it passes the sentence, it exposes your own sinfulness, and it activates God's judgment in your life. So, well, what's God's judgment? So if we think about hell, yeah, one day it's hell. But we find in Romans chapter 1 that the judgment of God is God giving you over to the sinfulness to walk and practice that sin without any victory, without any peace. God gives you over. See, it's real easy to say in Romans chapter 1 that the depraved are over there and I'm not depraved. But yet you'll walk in your own sinfulness and your own stubbornness of heart. Scripture says not only that, it activates God's judgment, but it reveals your value in God's kindness. See, when I judge someone and say, well, they made their bed and let them lie in it. You know, heard that? They made it, they deserve what they've got, and I'm just going to be happy for what they got. And I'm going to walk in that, and the Scripture says, you know what, verse 4, do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience? Don't you know that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? In other words, when I'm critical, I say, God's kindness was good enough for me, but was not and is not good enough for that guy. Did you hear that? When I'm critical and judgmental, I'm saying that God's kindness was good enough for me, but this guy or this woman, it's not good enough for.
And we'll think lightly of God's riches. That's why, folks, we want to ask God, Lord, would you remove the critical and judgmental spirit so I can have the eyes of Jesus to see who this person is and where this person has come from. I like to tell the story of the man that was on a jet traveled a whole lot. And one day, as he was making a connecting flight, he stayed on the flight. People got off. Folks came on. And this woman came on. And she had four kids. And they were wild. They were wild. And she was despondent, and she just didn't want to say, she'd say, now stop that, or you know how we do as parents sometimes, you know, stop it, and we don't mean it, and so they keep on doing it, right? Yeah, you've been there, haven't you? So we've all been there. And I mean, this guy was a pastor. He was traveling, speaking. And I mean, he began to get critical of this woman. What kind of mother would let her do this? I want to study. I want to read. You know, I need some things I need to work on. And these kids are driving me crazy. Critical spirit, passing judgment on her parenthood, all of those things. Until in one moment in the flight, she looked across the aisle and she said to him, sir, I am so sorry. I'm kind of struggling right now and I'm kind of in and out. She said, I have just gotten word. We've been on vacation and just got word with my children, just got word that my husband was just killed in an automobile accident. And I'm sorry about the way the children are acting today. Folks, you never know. When that person's rude to you or you think they're rude, or when they just look the other way and you say they're so unfriendly, you never know what's going on in their hearts at that very moment. You don't know it. And so when you begin to judge and you pass judgment on the fact, you know what happens? You miss an opportunity to walk in the ministry power of the living God on that person. That critical spirit, that critical eye, that crunched up nose looking at that person will rob that person and rob God's glory of you being able to be a minister at that very moment in that person's life. And I say this, every time I walk in a critical spirit and God convicts me, I think, what did I miss just now? What was the opportunity that just passed right by my life and by my giftedness and by the talent? What just passed by that I missed where I didn't minister to that person who was struggling? Instead, I walked away with a critical, horrible spirit to that person and missed the compassion of God. It reveals, folks, your value on God's kindness. Listen, it even reveals your character. It'll reveal your character. You know what the scripture says here? It says, listen, if you do this, if you walk in this, you are the stubborn one, you're the unrepentant one, you're the contentious one, you're the disobedient one. There's a sixth thing that happens when we walk in judgment. Because you walk in all these things, you blaspheme the name of God. You can go to verse 24. It's a direct quote to David that Nathan made to David when he had sinned with Bathsheba. Remember that? Sinned with Bathsheba, killed her husband. Rocked along a little bit, thought that he was free, and Nathan comes to him and tells him a story. He says, David, there's a man who had a ton of sheep. I mean, he had a ton of sheep. And he had a neighbor. It was a neighbor that had one little ewe lamb. This neighbor, his wife, those children loved this ewe lamb. One little ewe lamb. And I tell you, they raised this little ewe lamb not for food, not for anything, but because they loved this ewe lamb. They loved this animal. And one day this neighbor had company. All sheep he wanted. Do you know what he did, David? He went and he took that one little ewe lamb with all the sheep that he had, and he killed that little ewe lamb, and he fed that to his company. David was sitting on his throne. He came out of off that throne, I mean, with wrath and indignation, and passed judgment on that man. And Nathan, in one moment, pointed his finger at his face and said, David, you are the man. You just passed judgment on yourself. Do you know what you've done? He said, listen, you've got so many wives. If you wanted more, you could have one. I don't know why I'd want more than one. But, you know, he just said, but he said, you could have had more. You could have had more. I would have given you everything, everything. But yet, you've taken the life of a man and you've taken his wife. And you know what you've done, David, to me? You have made me look bad. You have caused the nations to blaspheme my name because of your sinfulness. Folks, when we walk in condemnation, it's in your heart and in your life. You'll walk in it. You'll walk in it, my friends. And you will say you're a Christian and you're a believer. And they'll look at you, the world will look at you at your job and say, you're a hypocrite. Why would I want to go where you go? Why would I have what you have? What you've just done is you've caused the nations, the ungodly, to blaspheme the name of God. Folks, critical spirit, very serious. Very serious. The question that I want to ask today, how do we come against this? And how do we walk from this place free of a critical spirit? I want to ask you, do you want to be free? Would you like to be free from a critical spirit? You raise your hand right now. Just all, do you want to be? Okay, good. Yeah. Go to Matthew 7, 1 through 7. These are principles that you can live by. Notice what he says. Chapter 7, verse 1. It's the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Two critical passages of scriptures, Romans chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 7, that speaks of judgment and the critical spirit. First of all, he says, do not judge lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. The first thing that I want to challenge you to is this. The first principle in getting rid of a critical spirit is live the principle of reaping and sowing. Let that be a part of your life, the principle of reaping and sowing. You can just jot down on your notes Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 8. The scripture says that whatever a man sows, this he will reap. If you sow judgment in the way you sow it, it will come back to you. You will be judged by that same standard. So what we want to do is we want to live this principle in a positive way. And I want to begin to say, God, I don't want to walk in this critical spirit anymore. I want to repent of it, and I want to believe that whatever I sow, I'm going to reap. Now, if you really believe that, you're going to watch what you sow in other people's lives. If you believe that a negative word or a critical spirit going out will be sown, that I'm going to reap that negative word one day. It's going to come back on me. Okay? You know, you've often heard people look at other people and say, I'll never be like him. You ever say that? I'll never be like my dad. Well, I just sowed a seed. I just sowed a seed, and one day I grow up, and I may not be totally like my dad, but in the very thing that I judged my dad, I had the propensity for it. And I wake up one day, and I hear my wife one day say, you're just like your daddy in that area. You're just like your dad. And you get so mad, so angry, because that's the very thing you judged your dad. It's the very thing you hated about your dad. It's the very thing that you saw that I would never grow up to be like, and you became just like it because it was your critical spirit. You reap what you sow. What I want to do is I want to sow good seed. I want to look at the positive qualities of the people around me. And I say, that's what I want to emulate. That's what I want to walk in. And it's not that I ignore the bad things in somebody's life and let them get away with it. Please hear what I'm saying. But I'm not going to walk in a critical spirit of that person. I'm not going to pass judgment and condemnation. The second principle is I want to live a life that I walk in forgiveness. I want to walk in forgiveness. He says, listen, if you judge that person by that same standard of measure, it's going to be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log that is in your own eye? Well, oftentimes what we need to have is the spirit of forgiveness. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 on your notes says, do not judge and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn and you'll not be condemned. Pardon and you'll be pardoned. Give, it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It'll pour into your lap. Now, that's the principle of reaping and sowing. You sow, it's going to come back to you. It's going to pour in your lap. A lot of times, look at that passage of Scripture, we think of only good things. But I don't want to tell you, the rotten things and the bad things will come back to you, and it'll fill up your lap. And instead of being a blessing, you become a curse. Notice, for by your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you in return. I want to walk in forgiveness. Don't want to judge that person. Don't want to condemn it. Even if he did it against me, I want to pardon. I want to walk in the forgiveness of God. The scripture says you will find the pardon of God. The third thing is that you want to see your own sin in relationship to Christ's holiness. Turn to John chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Very great illustration about judgment and critical spirit. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning, verse 2. He came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery. We caught her in the very act. You know, you've heard me say this before. You're new, you haven't. But why didn't they bring the man? They caught her in the very act. And they dragged this woman. Well, where's the man? Why isn't the man with you? And they were saying this to test. He says, the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. And what do you say? See, the law of Moses gives me the opportunity to pick up a rock and stone this person, to walk in judgment, to walk in critical, to throw the rocks, to throw the stones. I got permission to do that from the Word of God, they're saying. What are you saying here, Lord? What are you going to say about this? They were saying this to test him in verse 6 in order that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. And when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and he said to them, watch, folks, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. If you're without sin, then go on and be critical. Go on and be judgmental. Go on and throw that rotten word out toward that person. Go on and fail to look for the best in that person's life instead of always trying to find fault in somebody else's life. Just go on. You're without sin. You're perfect. You've experienced the kindness of God so much that now you're sanctified so much that you're glorified and you ought to just be in heaven because you're so perfect. You without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And again he stooped down, he wrote on the ground, and when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. And he was left alone in the woman where she was in the midst. And straightened up, Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? Didn't they not condemn you? Did they not judge you? She said, no one, Lord. Jesus said, watch, neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, sin no more. Stop sinning. See, folks, there is an accountability here. The accountability is you're forgiven, but you go from this place in your forgiveness and in the way God has pardoned you, and you sin no more. You sin no more. What I want to suggest to you is that the holiness of God stooped down and wrote something in that ground. I don't know what he wrote. I'd love to know. They've debated about it. But anyway, this holiness of God should have brought these accusers to their knees. But the problem is they're hypocrites. And hypocrites are blinded by their own sin. They can't see past the veil. They can't see past the veil. When you look at this passage of Scripture, we need to see my sin in relationship to Christ's holiness. Not my sin to somebody else's. That's what they did. They took somebody and they saw their sinfulness and they thought, well, I'm pretty good because I'm a Pharisee and I'm a pretty good religious person. And instead of lining their life up to the holiness of God, where God would bring conviction of their own hypocrisy and their pride and their arrogance, we need to line up our lives to the holiness of Christ. Another thing is we need to remove the logs from our own eyes. If you're critical of somebody, Scripture says that that person just has a speck in their eyes and you have a log in yours. When you're critical about someone's temper, take a look at your own outburst of anger. See, when I say I'm critical of that person over there because my son or my daughter, when they were little, and they threw a fit and I got critical of that, I had to look at my own outburst of anger and say, what are the things in my life I'm critical of? When I'm critical about someone's rebellion, what about my own disregard for authority? Well, I don't want to line up my life to the boss, or I don't want to line up to the laws of the land, right? And you know, you get this joke, so well, those are man-made laws, right? You're not submitting authority. When you're critical about someone's failure to obey, what about dragging your feet to carry out your assignments and your daily chores? Or when you're critical about someone's whining because they whine, what about your own self-pity or grumbling? You see, the speck in someone else's eye is simply just a splinter off the log in yours. And you got to get the log out. When you're critical about someone's failure to get along, what about your relationship with your spouse, employees, and others? When you've got somebody, you know, maybe a child, and he daydreams all the time. So you're so critical of your son because he daydreams. Well, what about your own idleness? What about their lack of spiritual discernment or your preoccupation with the physical as opposed to the spiritual? When you see somebody unfaithful and you're critical of that, what about your own inconsistencies and your own promises that you've made? Or the fear of someone else, but your own anxieties and worries? You know, I don't understand why people are afraid of snakes. I don't. I see a snake, it don't scare me. And I get critical of that sometimes, but let a mouse pass by? Ooh. See, it's in my own spirit. Lack of compassion and my own critical spirit toward people and my own lack of compassion. When I really settled in, I said, well, they're just not a compassionate person, but yet I can pass somebody in need and not show any compassion at all. I've got to get the log out of my own eye, folks, before I can help the person who has the speck in theirs. And you know, I love that what Jesus says. He says, listen, we want you to be available to be a part of God's work in others. But you'll never be a part of God's work in others. You'll never minister effectively. You'll never be the guy or the woman that God's called you to be as a minister if you've got a critical spirit. You've got to remove these logs, and then you can be able to be a part of God's work in others. A final thing here today is that we need to practice the discernment and the compassion in the place of judgment. There is a place for discernment. In other words, folks, you don't let a pedophile work in the church nursery, okay? That's discernment. It's not critical. It's just a discernment. There's accountability. Of course, that guy is going to be accountable. If he's walking in Christ, he's going to want to be accountable. You do practice. There is a place for practicing discernment, but you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful because there's a fine line between discernment and judgment, discernment and critical spirit. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that right now? You know, wouldn't it be great if you could go through a day and not say anything critical about another person? Well, I would tell you, gang, just like every other temptation, there's a way of escape every time. And that ought to be a great amen. There might be some people in your life that have really hurt you and have done something very wrong to you. And so it's very easy for you to be critical. That's why you've got to be forgiving. You've got to walk in forgiveness today. You've got to release the debt and pardon so that you'll be pardoned yourself. But it's so easy to walk with a critical eye toward people in our lives. Maybe they don't meet your expectations. And so what do? You judge them. Not like me. Wish they were like me. Oh, if everybody was like me, we'd live in a great world. We've got to walk in forgiveness. It's got to be a spirit in your life that chooses not to look for the bad in people's lives, but to look at the potential and for the potential that God might have for their lives. And instead of seeing the drunkard, maybe I can picture a guy that's been set free, walking in the freedom of God, who's not only a drunkard, but he's discipling other men. He's working with other people. Folks, we've got to get rid of the critical spirit. Do you want to do that today? Listen, every one of you raised your hands, because every one of us experiences this. But I tell you, we can lay it down and begin some new habits for our lives so we never speak evil of another person. Never, never. But you got to be forgiving. Will you walk in the forgiveness today? Will you walk in that power today available to you? The very first thing that you must do is say, Lord, I agree with you that this is an ungodly habit. It's ungodly. I've got to see the seriousness of this sin. If I don't see the seriousness of this sin, I'll never repent. It's serious, folks. Jude says it. The judgment of God comes upon people like this. So what I want to do is say, God, I'm critical. Don't want to walk in a critical spirit. Father, I want to walk in a discerning spirit, but I want to walk in a spirit of love. I want to see the good in people. Father, I want to walk in such in the power of God to see the potential. Lord, when they brought that, I want to be able to say, Lord, when they brought that adulterous woman to you, you saw a woman that could go the rest of her life never committing adultery again. When you said, go and sin no more. Father God, I want to have that kind of spirit in my life. I want to see the best. I want to see what you see. Oh God, let us not miss the opportunity to minister the life of God because of our critical spirit toward people. Father, I pray today for a commitment in every life here today. A commitment that says, Lord, by an act of my will and by the power of the Spirit of God that would conform my will to yours, I will not walk in a critical spirit. Lord, will you forgive me for passing judgment against my father, against my mother, against my brother or my sister, or my wife or my husband? Lord, will you forgive me for walking in this? Oh God, I want to be a blessing, not a curse. God, I pray for that kind of prayer that would go through this place. I praise you. I bless you for the freedom that you desire to bring today. And I praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.